Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go, Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Bills have mandatory minicamp. That doesn't really go on the song as well as, Sal is going to join us here on the Wester Hotline. And his segment is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Monday morning. How you doing?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning. Hey, we had a good weekend.
I got on the pool for the first time, so that's progress.
Nice.
I actually did want to ask you about something that has nothing to do with sports, if that's okay to start this off. Because I think we're all experiencing the same thing. We're all trying to get back to normal, right, and do things that we weren't able to do for quite some time. Jeremy had his golf trip recently, you know, got on a plane, flew out to California, played golf. A lot of us have already been down to a baseball game at Salem Field. My wife and I were in at Batavia Downs Friday night for the opening of the return of their concert series. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, stuff we love to do. I wanted to ask you what Porch... I saw tweets about Porch Fest. You tweeted it out. Well, and it looked like they had a lot of people out, and it's, you know, one of those things where you're trying to get your life back to the things you used to do.
It did look like a lot of people, Sal. We had hoped to get there, but, like, the day just kind of got away from us a little bit, but it looked like it was packed.
It was amazing, and I did not get into it until later in the day. I had a full day on Saturday for Max's Little League game. I had a flag football game out in Amherst. I had another commitment I had for a couple hours out in Lancaster. So by the time I got home, my wife said to me, she said, you know, believe it or not, we knew it was Porch Fest, and I knew there were going to be people around. But as I'm driving through, like, the Elmwood Village, it's just packed. There's people everywhere. And I would tell you guys, 2-3 years ago, I might say, oh, my God, there's just too many people here. I can't navigate.
Right.
Now I'm like, I'm so glad to see so many people that are out and about. And my wife said, yeah. She said, we actually had two bands on our street this year. I said, really? She said, yeah, I heard music going on. And I said, oh, that's a little close. Wonder where it's coming from. She went outside. There were two bands on the street. So it was all different times, depending on where you went, but all through the Elmwood Village, up and down, whether that was from Ferry to Lafayette, to Elmwood Avenue, obviously, up and down the strip. It was just great. And, you know, when I got home, I said, let's go. Let's take a walk. Let's see what we got. And even if there were spots where bands were done playing, there were lots of people just hanging out. And we found a nice spot. You saw the video I put out that you're referring to. That was at the corner of Lafayette and Elmwood. And it's right across from the church there. And there was just lots of people. And Max and I went on the lawn and we were throwing the Nerf football to each other, listened to music. It was great. It was a great time. Great weather and great to see people out. One of the most underrated Buffalo events every year.
Well, and it's great. You know, we all need it for our mental well-being. You know, it's just being able to just do things that you enjoy. The golf trip, the baseball game, the Porch Fest, the concert series, whatever. Art Park is back. I mean, doing things that you're able to, that you really enjoy and you really missed last year, I think is, you know, for our collective state of well-being is great.
I would extend that to watching sports, too. If you're watching, I mentioned to you, Howard, earlier at Wrigley Field, but also the England-Croatia game. I don't know that I've ever been so, happy to see just a bunch of people going crazy after a goal, like shirtless guys. Like, look at these guys. They're having a good time. Everything's, you know,
Did you see this Sky Sports tweet with little clips of fan reaction all across the country on when they scored their goal? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, really cool to see. And every single time that'll happen, I think about the upcoming football season and how, you know, we had a whole season that was very different from normal, but football found a way to make it work, all pretty much, at least up here, without fans. And I just think getting the fans back is maybe not lost on a lot of people. It's so great to see it back.
Yeah, and in case people don't know, because they may be kind of learning just about Porch Fest for the first time, because I've had people say, what is Porch Fest? It literally is just bands that play on porches. And there are websites you can go to see what addresses, the names of bands. But like, there's no money, obviously. You just walk around, you enjoy it. You hear a band playing, you walk over to it, you watch it, you plop up a chair. There's different kinds of music and artists. So it was really cool on Saturday. And it was a nice weekend. And my parents are in town, so we had some family over yesterday. We had we grilled and we're able to catch up with people we haven't seen in a while. So I hear where you guys are coming from. It was really nice.
Mandatory mini camp this week. How is that different? In what ways is that different than what we've been hearing you talk about and cover so far, voluntary OTAs?
There's really no difference other than it's mandatory. If you're not here now, you can be fined by the organization. And, guys are expected to be here. And it's the last three practices, if you will, before training camp. It's the last chance for young players to make an impression on where they should be on the depth chart once training camp opens. It's the last chance for, veterans to get their T's crossed or I's dotted and for coaches to make sure that everything's in place before they return to training camp, which should be right around July 27th or so. We don't have the official date on that. So really, that's the only thing that's different. There's nothing different as far as, on the field. It's all considered part of phase three. They've been going through 7-on-7, 11-on-11. There's no hitting. This isn't
training
camp.
There's no pads, right?
No pads. You have your helmets on, obviously, because, you've seen the videos out. You don't want guys running into each other and, whacking heads and things like that. But there's no shoulder pads or things like that. So yeah, it's no different except for when I tweet out attendance, if there's somebody not there, either they can be excused. They can be excused from the team, and that has happened. Or basically, they're just skipping mandatory minicamp, and that's something that's going to get them fined.
Sal, is the story, not the story, but one of the stories this week, is it star Latulele that he's going to be – we've been kind of waiting for this, right, to find out what the story is and how things are going with him. And the rumblings, the report – I think Vic Rucci reported from his personal coach that he's looking excited to be back. So the Bills, it sure looks like it's tracking that way, that star will be back.
Yeah, Jeremy, let's say we don't know the time yet. So tomorrow, let's just say practice starts at 12 p.m. At 12:01, that's the story. And then once he's there, it's no longer a story, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because it hasn't been required for him to be there. Now, it's not just him. These guys I would expect to be there, but you never know. Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Vernon Butler, all four defensive linemen there. Tywan Jones hasn't been there yet. But Star's the one, because he opted out last year, that everyone's wondering about. Once Star Latulele is seen, once I see him on the field and someone tweets out that he's there, reports that he's there, it's no longer a story. He's there. He's at mandatory minicamp. Now, there's a follow-up story to this, though, which is you guys have seen the videos that Star's coach has been putting out and him working out. He looks thinner. He looks like he's transformed his body a bit. And people have said to me, boy, he looks too thin to play the one technique. And first of all, my first response is, look, this is a video. We don't know. Let's see what he looks like. Secondly, it's not about size. It's about power. Like, you can lose some size if you still have that same power. It's not as big of a deal. But I think that's the follow-up to it. What does Star look like? I mean, he has been away from football for a couple of years now.
And I saw some of the videos, and I followed a little of the conversation about that, about his size. And, I mean, I'm not a personal trainer. I'm sure the Bills, and whether it's Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, whoever, will talk about this. But you spend – one of the things I saw, Sal, was you spend the offseason getting the speed and the power, like you're saying, and then you add to the frame. So if he wants to get into football shape by September, he doesn't have to be a certain weight necessarily on June 14th. It could be, they want him exactly right here at this moment, and then it could still change a little bit from there. But the thing that he looks is athletic. He looks really athletic. So, again, you're talking about different techniques, what they're going to be asking of him, of course, that'll factor in.
Star's actually always been a guy who can move pretty well for a guy his size. One of the things I've always been impressed from day one when Star Latulele got here is, he really gets down the line pretty quickly. He does a really nice job of just – kind of moving his feet down the line, making sure, you know, what is his job? His job to tie guys up. Well, when the ball is moving left or right, you know, and offensive linemen are going that way, he's done a nice job of doing that. So I think he's always moved well for a big guy. But there is also another part of, we don't know what the communication has been with the team, what weight they want him to be at, what they're envisioning for him to be on this defense. We've talked a lot this year, guys, about how I think that one of the things the Bills have really tried to do is build a defensive front that they can really move a lot of guys around, you know? And yes, we know they totally missed Star Lotulelei and his size and what he can do in the middle of the defense. Doesn't mean he can't do it if he's not as big, but because if he has that power and, you know, he can still tie guys up, you know, maybe he'll be better for it, but we'll see. You know, let's see what he looks like, and let's just make sure he's here first, but that all happens tomorrow.
Who does it mean the most for on that Bills defense if Starr's back and in form? Is it Tremaine Edmonds, number one?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Tremaine. You know, Tremaine, now in his own right, he needs to be better at shedding some blocks, taking on bigger offensive linemen who can get into him a little bit. But if you have Star Lotulelei in front of him, that's going to help him. That's just the way the defense is predicated. When you say that sometimes, I think, Jeremy, people think, well, then why'd you draft him if that's the case? Well, it doesn't matter what person you put at that position in this defense. The defense is predicated upon those guys being kept clean. That's all it is. And that will help the linebackers. If Star Lotulelei is back and he can be the Star Lotulelei he was, you know, in 2019, 2018 when the Bills had him, then that's going to help the linebackers. And I think that's going to help Tremaine Edmonds most specifically. Matt Milano's more of a sideline to sideline guy. He's a guy that, you know, he's not trying to take care of the A gaps. He doesn't have to be kept as clean. He's going to try and find the angles and get to the outside. Tremaine, though, plays more in the box, if you will. He plays more interior, plays more tackle to tackle. So he's going to have to take on people who come out to him, but if they don't get out to him, makes him a lot, his job a lot easier to move around. So I would say for sure he would be the most beneficial. Now, I think you could definitely make an argument that Ed Oliver is right there. I think Ed Oliver could have taken a really big step last year if he had someone like Starr next to him. He didn't take that step because he's more of the penetrating defensive lineman. It's a lot easier to take care of him if you're an offensive lineman, you're an offensive game planner and coach to say, hey, you know, that's the guy we got to make sure that we block on this play. If Star Lotulelei is there, I think that opens things up a little bit for Ed Oliver to be able to penetrate.
Sal with us here on our Wester Hotline. Mandatory minicamp this week. And then, as Sal mentioned, everything's quiet till the open training camp in Orchard Park at the end of July. There was, I want to actually ask you about Jake Fromm, which I don't know why, but it came up during the Brian Daboll Zoom call. And I kind of forgot, like, hey, Jake Fromm, welcome to the team. You get to practice with your teammates this year. What's that going to be like? And I guess when we get to camp, we'll be talking more about this, Sal, eventually, you know, whether they'd keep three quarterbacks on the roster. Allen's here, Trubisky's here, we know that. But what, for Jake Fromm last year, was it kind of a lost year? I mean, it wasn't a great situation for a rookie to learn.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Well, he wasn't allowed to practice with the team, was he?
Well, he was allowed to. The team just didn't do it.
They didn't want to. That's right. But he practiced separately, basically.
Correct. But, okay. I mean, he's still practicing. He's still learning the offense. He's still in all the meeting rooms. I mean, I don't know how much you want to say it's a lost year. I mean, he's still with the team all the time. He just wasn't on the field with them.
Right.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't say maybe, and I know they had different rooms. I don't know exactly how it worked. I shouldn't speak on that. But he was at games. You know, he knew what was going on. I wouldn't call it a lost year for him, Howard. I just think that he didn't get the same amount of reps. He wasn't doing the 7-on-7, 11-on-11 at practice like everybody else. I think he's a little bit behind the curve because of that for sure. But he still learned. He had a redshirt year, kind of just, to me, it was kind of just like a guy like Isaiah Hodgins, maybe, right? Where, you know, he's still doing everything. He's just not getting those active practice reps. Now, it's also important to note here that they could elect to do the same thing again this year, guys. We don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they could elect to have what you would call an emergency COVID QB, depending on how they think the numbers are, the impact could be on NFL locker rooms and rosters. And maybe some teams like the Bills say, hey, we kind of got to do this thing again. We don't know what it is. The other part is when they had rookie minicamp, people said to me, why is Jake Fromm not at rookie minicamp? He wasn't on the team last year. No, he was. Yeah. He occupied an active roster spot last year. Again, like you said, he just didn't practice with the team Monday through Saturday out on the field. But it wasn't like he was on some sort of list. It wasn't like he was not active. He got a season, an accrued season, for being on the active roster the entire year on an NFL team. So he's not a rookie anymore. He's going into his second year. But I'm wondering how they're going to play it. Now, I'll tell you this. I've liked what I've seen from Jake Fromm out there so far. Mm-hmm. Last week, I got a little, some of the videos I posted from being at practice, I was kind of right behind Allen and Fromm. I like the way he's throwing the ball. You can definitely see the difference. Now, this could go for anybody between him and Josh Allen and the zip on the ball, right? I mean, but you put anybody back there, you could see that. But I think from what I've seen, now again, they're not going against defenses necessarily. There's not a pass rush. We'll see what happens. We all kind of would assume Mitch Trubisky is QB2. Yeah. So you got Allen, you got Trubisky. That's going to stay. The question would come down to this. Let's say you want to keep three QBs. It's easy to say, well, look what Davis Webb does for this team, right? He needs to be kept over Jake Fromm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Although I would tell you, who would have more of a chance of getting claimed off waivers if they were released? Jake Fromm or Davis Webb? I think it would be Jake Fromm. So the Bills could do what they did last year and say, you know what? Let's keep Fromm. Let's release Webb at the end of the training camp, and then we'll just put him on the practice squad. No one's going to claim him. Then they still have four guys in the building. Because if they do it the other way, they might only have three guys that they can keep because maybe someone sweeps up Jake Fromm because he's young.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not that Davis Webb isn't, but maybe someone feels that. Now, who knows? Maybe they just want to make sure they keep Davis Webb. He's like a coach out there, by the way. Davis Webb, he's going to be a coach someday. Matt Parrino did a great piece on him and how he's going to want to be a coach someday, and he's already in that mold. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think the backup to the backup quarterback is an interesting spot.
You been watching Trubisky at all?
I haven't had a chance to really watch him. A couple of weeks ago, we were out there the one practice, and I remember commenting, that one practice, I thought he looked really good. He threw some really nice. In fact, I specifically tweeted about him now that I remember. That was the one at the stadium. That's what it was. It was at the stadium, and he stood out to me that day. I thought Trubisky, he threw the ball really well. You know, when he signed, I had a Chicago media member, you know, reach out to me and say, hey, you know, do you know anything about, you know, Trubisky? Do you know any media, whatever? And I said, no, and, you know, who to contact or whatever. And then he said, it was really interesting. He said to me, you guys will get more out of him in 1 year than the Bears got out of him in 4 years simply because of coaching and organization. That's a Chicago media member that said that to me.
Hmm. Yeah, not the greatest staff or surrounding
right, but
staff
even that goes to show, A, I think that people still think he can play,
mm-hmm.
but B, I think it just goes to show you the respect that people have for this organization here in Buffalo and the coaching staff, you know, around the league, because, you know, we went back and forth. We talked about him, myself and this person, and, you know, they really agreed that, you know, Jake Fromm is in a really good spot here to hopefully get his career back on track in some way, considering, you know, being where he was picked and the 4 years later. But yeah, he said he'll be better off in Buffalo for 1 year than he was in 4 years in Chicago.
Hmm. All right, Mr. C. And by the way, is the mini camp fully open to the media?
Yes.
So it's kind of like training, camp. You'll be able to see the whole
thing. Yeah, as far as I know, unless something changes, every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, there will be media on hand. And, you know, same rules apply on what we can and can't report.
Oh, no, I'm asking you about reps. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to ask you about reps.
Right. But yes, as far as I understand it, we should be out there every day watching.
I want rep breakdowns. I want who's with the ones, who's with the twos, and I want video of trick plays.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know, Howard. To see how much that can cost you, maybe even get some inside info. You know? We'll have to negotiate.
Oh, wow. You're holding me up for... Oh, I can't... That's well played, Sal. Thank you. All right, Mr. C. Thank you for your time, as always. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah. Also, pass along our congratulations to Max. I saw your tweet last night. MVP, right?
Yeah, he had a really nice flag season. They did a great job. You know, we play, and I'll give them a shout out. We play through Kids Play of Western New York, and they do an amazing job. They really do. There's lots of places we go through Kenton. They're in Orchard Park and Williamsville, and he's played floor hockey through them and flag football through them. And he through 4 weeks, so they'll go and they go for a little over an hour every Sunday, and they'll do drills for about half the time. Then they'll scrimmage, and they break the kids up into four teams basically, and you know, Max, he's a good player, but through the 4 weeks, he had 7 touchdowns, 2, 2, 1, and 2 each of the 4 weeks. So, you know, he had some long runs, catches the ball well, and yeah, he got the game ball. He's awarded the game ball for being an MVP. So we're super proud of him, obviously. He had a really nice season. They'll appreciate that.
Very nice, yeah. Well, at least somebody in the family. I mean, you know, you weren't a good athlete, so it's nice to see your son.
Somebody's got to take the mantle over here.
That's right, yeah. All right, Sal, we'll talk to you again. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sal is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We are playing our National Win Cash Contest. More chances for you to win $1,000. We're going to play this every day for another month. So we have 11 words each weekday over the course of the day from all the different shows here. So you have lots of chances to win. Our first code word of the day is GREAT. G-R-E-A-T. Text GREAT to 72881, and you will be in the running for the $1,000. You have until 8 o'clock to text the word in. Please do not text and drive. Also, remember, message and data rates may apply. That's pretty much all the rules. GREAT, G-R-E-A-T, 72881. It is our Win Cash Contest, which is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. Yes, Mr. White.
When we get back, you know how I always tell you fantasy sports are actually just like regular sports?
Yes.
I had a fantasy draft this weekend.
Oh, really?
For me, my dynasty team, it went exactly the way the Bills draft went. So I'm just like Brandon Bean. I'll explain how it all works, because it's the exact same thing as what the Bills did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You say elbow, anything, you know, for a pitcher, everybody gets a little, you know, nervous about that. But like I said, I do a lot of ligament tests on my own, and doing those, knowing what that feels like, it's a total different spot. So like I said, I'm not too worried about it. And, you know, hopefully it's something that we can treat and run back out there in 5 days.
That's Jake DeGrom. He left Friday start a little bit early with some flexor tendonitis, but it sounds like he's okay and he will get his next scheduled start in against the Cubs. We're going to get to Jeremy and his fantasy draft in a moment. Also tweeted out a little football topic for your dining and dancing pleasure this morning. Outside of Kansas City, Bills fans, what other team, one team, would you worry about the most in the AFC in terms of the race for the conference championship? So we'll get connected here with our fans, which is brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Luke, the Titans, they've only gotten better, and they got us good last year. Carly says the Chargers could be really good. Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Eckler, Mike Williams are all studs. Mark says people will think I'm crazy. I'm going to say Cincinnati. Burrow could be in for a massive season. And Joe says Cleveland. Tremendous offensive line and run game. Mayfield is deadly accurate, great weapons, and defense is scary. And if you have a thought on that, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. And if there's something else you want to get to off the weekend, another question, comment, opinion, whatever, phone lines are always open for you to join us whenever you feel like you want to.
My answer might be, it's funny, it's Browns, Titans, Ravens is the group, right? For the consensus next three, the Chargers in there, okay. But is it Browns, Titans, Ravens?
I would say Ravens, Titans. How many people are putting the Browns in? Yeah, maybe. Ravens, Titans for sure. I think especially after Julio Jones trade, you know?
I've seen the Browns picked for the Super Bowl, for the AFC Championship, as the biggest test to the Chiefs. I think the Browns are definitely. All three teams run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans are the one that I would put above the others just because they might figure out that they should throw it more. You know, the Chiefs and the Bills, here you have two teams that throw it all over the place, and the next three, if you want to just say those are the next three, are teams that the Ravens are, of course, built around the run. The Browns definitely are, right? They've got good receivers and good weapons, but that's a team that wants to use Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They like to run the ball an awful lot. And then the Titans, who went out and got Julio Jones.
It sounds like they're still going to run the ball an awful lot.
So it'll be interesting to see how the matchups play out, but my biggest fear is that the Titans figure out they should be throwing it more. If I'm answering your Twitter question, it's going to be, tell me the Titans' run-to-pass ratio, because if it's a high pass ratio, I'll pick the Titans as the biggest threat.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be. What was it? I think last year was 52-48 run. I don't know. Maybe they'll start running the ball, and then like in the second or third game of the season, Julio Jones has a big day, and they realize, hey, maybe we should throw it more.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. If I had to pick one team... Man, I'm just I'm still not getting on the Titans bandwagon. I'm just going to leave that one alone. I love the Browns, but if I had to pick one team, I would still lean to Baltimore. I know they took some hits on the defensive side of the ball, but I would still lean to the Ravens if I had to pick one team to worry about behind the Bills, so to speak. That would be the one team. So your draft.
Yeah, I had a fantasy draft. Dynasty fantasy draft, and after it finished up, I realized that I had the same draft that the Bills just did. When they got Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham. So, okay, Dynasty Draft. If you're not playing in a Dynasty League, I don't know what you're doing. You need to be doing that. It's just the best. It's way more fun than your standard redraft leagues. This is the League of Shopes and Dreams. So Mike Shope and Sneaky Joe, they're both in this league. And how am I like the Bills in this draft? How was I like Brandon Bean? A couple different ways. One, my team is very good. I have a very strong team with not a lot of holes. So the Bills, right, they came into this draft, and we would say, what do you want? And a lot of people would say, I'm not trying to make this about my fantasy team. I'm trying to make a comparison and make a lengthy way to get to a Bills point that I keep making about the Bills draft, which is, what are you supposed to get? Like, well, I mean, how many starting jobs are even available for the Bills?
Right.
The answer is, not that many. Corner
one.
Two.
One, right?
Yeah, and they end up – so, all right, well, we'll see what they get to. Anyway, by the time the draft ends – turns out, if this were like the NFL, NFL.com, or somebody covering this, you interview me afterwards, you'd say like, well, it really seems like you like the New York Jets offense, don't you?
Hmm.
It's what you'd say to me, because I end up with Michael Carter and Zach Wilson along the way as two of my picks. And the reality is that I definitely did not go into this draft thinking I was coming out with Jets offensive players. It was not the plan. But the plan was, you know, I have a couple spots. I could probably add some depth and... The way the board fell.
Look at you, the board fell.
What else are you supposed to do? The way the board fell, like, okay, I'm going to go with the running back here, and then later on, what do I need? I don't know. Am I going to draft some person that's not going to play? You can never go wrong with blank.
You went best player available regardless of team.
I did. But I did it the way the Bills did because it's best player available at a position that makes sense. And that's what the Bills did. You could have made the case that the Bills should have gone for a corner with their first pick or their second pick. But everybody would agree for their roster, a defensive end, okay, fine. It makes sense.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that Brandon Bean went into that draft thinking, I've got to get a pass rush. I've got to do whatever I can to get after Patrick Mahomes. I hope these players do help the Bills beat the Chiefs and get to Patrick Mahomes. But it's just, it really was for me this is how the board fell. You know, hey, GM of the Great White Snarks, that's the team name, of course,
mm-hmm.
You're really all in on this Jets offense, aren't you? Well, No.
What, Jameson Crowder wasn't available? Or right.
He's already actually on my team.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't start, though.
No, yeah. Well.
But, you know, it's just
Carter's
it's just
a
the
nice
way
pick. That's. I mean, I don't know how I didn't see Zach Wilson play, so I'm not sure what kind of I like the pick of Carter. I think that could turn out to be a nice selection for you.
We'll see. What are they going to do? He's a fourth-round pick?
Yeah,
and
right.
What kind of offense are you expecting from Zach Wilson in his rookie year? I saw that their head coach said the best way to learn is through adversity. And that makes me think he's going to play right away. So does their depth chart, by the way, right?
Yeah, what's the other option?
Yeah, so Wilson's going to go in. Neither of these guys will start for me. I won't ask a lot of them, kind of like Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham. Like, you shouldn't have gigantic expectations. Mm-hmm. But if things work out, then great, you know? So yeah, basically, Brandon Bean and I are the same person. We had the same draft.
So I'm trying to think if you had anybody like the media giving you the evil eyes when you didn't take a different position. Like, he made fun about how, you know, like, yeah, I could sense through the Zoom call people were angry at me for not drafting a cornerback. I'm like, did the Great White Snarks ignore a position and you end up at a period?
No, I mean,
you're good at wide receiver. You're good at tight end.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Bills. Like, hey, should the Bills have taken a receiver with their first pick? If you really wanted to, you could make that case, but they're probably pretty set there for
right,
this year.
Right. Yeah. No. That's good. You know, you gotta. But as you said, I was gonna say it is a dynasty league, but you do have to think about down the road. Like when you draft two pass rushers, hey, Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, how much longer they're gonna be here? I don't know your overall roster, Jeremy. I don't know if you looked at. Did you look at some point, since there's no crying need, a certain position where you have some older guys on your dynasty team? Hey, let me get a young player in, even though it looks like the depth chart's pretty crowded right now. Like that type of discussion.
Right. So it was fun to have a draft, by the way, because a lot of last year's fantasy drafts might have been more remote, Zoom call-y
Zoom-ish.
Kind of ones.
Yeah, a little zoomy. Right.
Unless, you know, you're outside or with your friends or whatever you were doing. But, you know, we got most of the league together and rookie and – free agent draft. It was good. Good to get back on the fantasy swing of things, which means, you know what that means I'm doing today, Howard?
Okay, go ahead. I thought it was usually reserved to curse out how bad your team is.
No.
You're very confident with this squad.
It's a good squad. Mm. Now that I've made this draft has happened, I've got a couple more that are going to happen. Now that this draft has happened, it is June 14th, and we shall begin staring at your own roster season. No matter what, from now until the start of football season, every browser that I open, there will be one tab that will be staring at fantasy rosters. I will just stare at my own rosters.
Thinking a lot about kickers, are you, these days?
We don't have kickers in that league.
No kickers. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Do I have kickers in any league that I'm in? Maybe one of the standards. Anyway, yeah, just it's staring at your fantasy roster season if you've got a dynasty league.
Top receivers?
On that league?
Yeah.
I've got Diggs. I've got DK Metcalf. I've got Deontay Johnson.
Really? You got a Steeler on your roster?
I do.
With drafted Ben Roethlisberger.
I got him when they drafted him.
All right.
And, you know, they throw to him a lot.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't love Pittsburgh right now.
No, I know. That's why I was curious. But Diggs and Metcalf, that's not bad.
They throw to him a lot, though. All right. Najee Harris is going to be, for running backs, strong leagues, Najee Harris is your number one pick.
He shouldn't have a lot of touches, yeah.
That's certainly the expectation. It's where he was drafted. It's the organization. It's what they want to do after a year where they couldn't run the ball at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting, I would say, consistent number one pick in rookie drafts at least.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550 WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're an Ontario kid, Mississauga guy, just down the road in Buffalo. What would it be like to be a Sabre, do you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome. It's nice and close to home, so lots of family would be able to come down.
Oh, sure, you cut off the clip before you said, but I really don't want to play there. I can't believe you guys did that.
That's Owen Power. That's not, all the clip was.
Not to be confused with Owen Parker.
By the way,
I was just going to say, I'm with Craig Revay, by the way, in terms of the discussion of trading the pick. It's funny to listen to the instigators when Peter's like thinks Revay's grown a second head. I'm good if they traded the pick out, whatever. I mean, I'm not married to having the first overall pick in the draft and Owen Power or whoever they decide to use it on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What would they trade it for?
It's like their discussion. And then when Drager comes on or Friedman comes on, Andrew like asks them, and it's almost like, could you guys talk to Craig and tell him why he's nuts to even consider trading the number one pick? And you're open to anything at this point if you're a Sabres fan. And if a number one pick goes, and I don't know what it gets you, but it's not like I'm sitting there going, like, you know, well, no, that's crazy. You can't move that pick. You just absolutely have to take this Owen Power kid. I know all the great things are being said about him. Man, I don't, whatever. If the number one pick can help in some way, shape, or form other than using it and trading it, great. Okay. You just said it's not like you're trading away a number one pick and missing out on a chance to take McDavid or anything. I mean, it's Owen Power.
Which also probably means you're not getting nearly as much.
Yeah,
as you
I know. It probably wouldn't be it's not a can't miss guy that you would be crazy to trade. I get that. But it's right. Okay to have the discussion.
There's another name I want to ask you about in terms of the prospects. Here,
okay.
I saw a statistical breakdown of, yeah, I know this is a little in the weeds, but the last 15 years of guys in the Swedish league, maybe, mm-hmm. about William Eklund.
Yeah.
Should William Eklund be getting more run as a potential number one pick?
I mean, potentially. I think Matthew Beniers is still better than William Eklund. I think that if you're picking one of the two, I'm picking Matthew Beniers. William Eklund, yes, he can play center, but he's projecting more to be a winger in the NHL. But, I mean, he certainly is a very good playmaking sort of player. He drives offense quite well. He sees the ice quite well. He skates good. He's got a good shot. And, yeah, his production from the Swedish Hockey League this past year was quite impressive. I mean, one of the better rates of production in a season in a player's draft year in the Swedish Hockey League. So, yeah, William Eklund's probably going to go top three, top five. But in consideration for number one or two, personally, I would say no.
Second follow-up.
Okay.
Whatever, follow-up question. Was there any update on Beniers' knee? Because he got hurt at the tournament.
Right. I don't know if it was his knee or if it was his ankle. I can't remember exactly.
Lower body.
But he missed the final two games of the tournament due to that injury. But
Yeah, we'll see at the combine if he's present and riding the bike and puking and all that stuff.
I don't know if they're going to have a combine this year, honestly.
Right.
Well, we're still not back to normal from combine
standpoint. Not too sure, right? Yeah.
It's a virtual draft, right?
Yep.
Quick thought on J.J. Paterka. Brayton, he signed his entry-level contract, I believe, over the weekend, or at least since we were on the air Friday morning.
Yeah, no, I was kind of surprised a little bit by the signing of Paterka. I thought that he was maybe going to spend one more year in Germany. I mean, I think there's a possibility that he could still spend one more year. He could have a clause in his contract where he spends this year. It's sort of like Arttu Ruotsalainen, where he spends 1 year over back over in Europe and then comes over to North America right after that. It could be a similar sort of situation, mm-hmm. but I would think at this point they're signing him to make the jump to North America and start to develop in Rochester or Buffalo, wherever he ends up starting out his development course here in North America. I think he would start out in Rochester, get acclimated to the North American game, similar to Victor Olofsson, mm-hmm. Arttu Ruotsalainen, even though Ruotsalainen was pretty well prepared anyway, but I think that's how they would try to start off with Paterka. Paterka's still eligible to play for the World Juniors with Germany again this upcoming season. He's only 19. He doesn't turn 20 until, I think, February or something like that. So he's still eligible to go back to the World Juniors. Maybe the Sabres would let him start out the year in Rochester, see how he plays, let him get acclimated under Seth Appert and the coaching staff down there. Let him go to the World Juniors in Edmonton. They're playing in Edmonton and Red Deer this year. So let him go play there for Germany, see if they can do anything more than they have in the past couple of years. And then come on back and finish out the rest of the year and see how it goes.
He's a scorer, right? Or what is his game about?
He's definitely got a good shot.
I think he's got some sneaky scoring ability is kind of the story.
That's a great way to put it. It's very good sneaky scoring abilities, but he's just a worker. He's a workhorse. He goes to work in the corners. He goes to work in front of the net. He's going 110%. 110% of the time. He's just going to go out there and he's going to do whatever you ask of him. If you want him to go play more of a physical role, he can do that. If you want him to be a scorer or a playmaker, he can do that. I mean, he is, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a complete 200-foot player, sort of like we've been talking about with Matthew Beniers. However, he's very reliable at both ends of the ice, and you can ask him to play just about any role. Power play, penalty kill, he can do it.
Real quick, the other thing I was going to mention, you might be listening thinking, you guys are talking hockey in mid-June. Do you know how long hockey's going to go for? These series, these semifinals, could go till the 26th if it goes the distance.
We could have Stanley Cup final hockey on Independence Day, which would be pretty cool.
And well past it.
Yeah.
Which is
that late?
Wild.
It would go, if it goes, like, all right.
Yeah.
When's
if these
the,
series go long, it'll go to July 10th.
I was going to say, right, it's got to be a couple of weeks lead time, because then you get the expansion draft, the amateur draft, and all that stuff. But July 10th hockey, huh? Fireworks and Stanley Cup finals. Sorry, I forgot the S.
It's fine by me.
Yeah, that's odd.
Well, no, it's Stanley Cup final.
Final. NBA finals.
Yes.
All right.
And
I'm
going to
have
Stanley Cup semifinals.
Okay, see, I'm going to, okay, this, stop this. I'm going to need some kind of resolution where the leagues all get together and decide once and for all, S or no S on their playoffs, because this it's NFL playoffs, right?
You know, you could just do what I do and call it the culmination of the hockey sporting season, like I do with the Seattle hockey team. Just remove it from your vocabulary. Everybody wins.
The games that happen after the regular season.
Yes.
Games.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Series of games between two teams in the NHL.
The final seven games potentially of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to call it the championship series. 803, I just, or is it Siri? Like, isn't it, what's that?
No.
Is that Italian Siri? Europe, it's S-E-R-I-E, or maybe Canada, maybe French is Siri, right?
I don't know. Just go with Siri.
As opposed to Siri on your phone.
Stanley Cup
S-I.
Final NBA Finals.
It's too much. 803-0550 to join us, WGR, no S.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.